You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, back to another episode of Your Dose of Death. Of course, the episode three of, episode two of the return of the newly rebranded, newly minted, newly refreshed Your Dose of Death podcast. As you guys know, RPW, one of my home promotions, one of my favorite promotions in the entire world. As you guys know, November 23rd, Malignant, the legendary Berwyn Eagles is happening. I didn't think it was necessary to do this show coverage on my own. As the great Ringo Starr once said, I just need a little help from my friends. And I couldn't ask for a better person to cover this show with. One of the voices of RPW, one of really the most prominent, well sought after commentators in the independent landscape today. A man that I am proud to call a friend, Mr. Peapod. Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a hot minute.
Hi, buddy. Well, that's a hell of an introduction. But I will take it. But it is great to be back. It's great to see you, as always. And it's great to see Your Dose of Death back on the air, doing some fun things, doing some great coverage. So I'm very excited. And Malignant, the season finale of our 2024 season of Ruthless Pro Wrestling. It's coming up on November 23rd. Very excited.
And before we get into the show, I think it's fair enough to talk about what has been the 2024 season of Ruthless Pro, because a lot's happened. A lot has happened.
Like, it's so wild to me that this company has, you know, just in the few years it's been around, it has grown into maybe a juggernaut of the Midwest deathmatch scene. Hell, I would say one of the top deathmatch companies in the nation.
100%.
And I think we've been doing a lot of cool stuff. A lot of, you know, killer shows. We made our debut once again we returned, rather, not a debut again, but like a return to the New Jersey area this year. We made our Virginia debut with the good people of POR Stunts. Yeah. We had some very unique shows with some huge moments. We've been the home for a lot of great talent, both nationally and internationally. And you know, King of the Kill 2 was a spectacle, really stepped it up from the very first year that we did it last year. And teaming up with a huge weekend with our friends at Flophouse, which was very fun.
Yeah.
Very unique time. And it all culminates, really, you know, the blow what are, you know, more or less a WrestleMania, quote unquote, you can call it, for King of the Kill. Really excited. We're going back to the Berwyn Eagles. It's really pretty much our second home. Yeah. You know, obviously we're Detroit, Michigan area company, but we really have made and made a second home in the Berwyn Eagles, the world famous Berwyn Eagles. Yeah. And Malignant is going to be something else. We have seven killer matches and international talent, and we'll cover all of that.
Yeah.
It's going to be very fun, and I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about our friends, Hyperion Championship Belts, Deathmatch Worldwide, Severn Films, and our good buddies at Buffet Bros Podcast.
Crust.
It's going to be great when they debut. Crust Lord shouts out Fago Dogs in the parking lot before the show. I still have not had one.
I still have not had one either.
I'm so busy day of show getting things
I am
together.
Too. I'm like in my work mentality. I gotta get myself going. And I need
a Fago Dog. And
Ross,
save us four, really. We're big boys. We need more food. I need to eat during shows anyway, so fuck it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm very excited. Malignant is going to be a hell of a good show.
And another thing I want to mention beforehand, and this is really special to me because these guys have been big supporters of this podcast since day one, but Our new friends at Time Bomb Pro will be making their Illinois debut.
That's right.
Never been to Illinois until November 23rd. Come for their show, 3 o'clock Central Standard Time. Do not miss out on that show.
Damaged Goods
Damaged
is the name of
Goods.
their show. Definitely want to check out. I really dig Time Bomb's vibe. I really like the talent they have. It's going to be a very interesting show they're going to
It
have.
is. And I mean, as someone who's known Eric, the promoter at Time Bomb, for so long, to finally kind of bring full circle, because me and him have been talking for years to finally meet in Chicago. I've had plans to work with Time Bomb for years. Like, they're no ring spectacles. And now getting to see them in Chicago, I already told him I'm saving him some Portillo's before the show.
Hell
So,
yeah, dude.
make sure to check that show out as well. But on RPW Malignant, I think a big theme, yes, as you said, the season finale, a thing that I kind of get gauged with this show is grudges will be settled. Grudges will be settled. Civil wars may come to an end, but a lot of just this pent-up rage. We're at the peak of the mountain in a way, and we're just ready to blow from that peak of the mountain. So I think the first match we're going to talk about here is one that is intriguing in a lot of ways, because these two have kind of garnered slash gone the same path. Dr. Redacted, Casanova Valentine. This is a very interesting matchup in both their careers, because they've faced each other before, but it feels like Dr. Redacted right now, like the stove is hot for him. He is well sought after. International tours, being in some of the biggest deathmatch tournaments in the world now. Like, Dr. Dagger comes into it with all this momentum, but Casanova kind of has become like the quiet fan favorite. Maybe not. He may tell you differently, Casanova.
I wouldn't say quietly fan favorite. I think both of these men come with a lot of piss and vinegar, a lot of pomp and circumstance, and for all the right reasons. I think both of these gentlemen are very unique and are very kind of the same. Obviously, Brooklyn Black Death, the king of the no ring death match, is Casanova Valentine. He's done very good for himself throughout 2023 and 2024, traveling to Japan, doing wrestling in Italy, in Europe, and obviously everything with Ballroom Blitz and New Fear City and everything that he has done. He's really, carved a niche for himself and really made like that no ring style of deathmatch wrestling very fun, very interesting, a very go-to events and everything. And Redacted also is also all over the place as of late. Redacted's becoming a household name. He's been very, very active, and not only just RPW, but across the deathmatch scene. And rightfully so. I feel like he has earned it. He has done very well for himself and everything. But I'd be remiss if I don't look back at the histories and the data of both these gentlemen. I'm a stat nerd. I understand kind of the history and everything. That's my job as a commentator, is to express this. Redacted has not won a match in RPW since King of the Kill won finals.
Wow,
He
been
has
that
not been
long.
successful. Casanova Valentine isn't also as not that successful in RPW either. Even though both gentlemen do very well and are very fun to watch and everything. So like this is almost a pinnacle turning point moment for both of these gentlemen as we look into 2025. As we know some of the events that we have announced for 2025. More on that later. And with Schlack, excuse me, King Schlack as our Rust Belt Deathmatch World Champion, you have to wonder which one of these men are going to start the uphill climb to try to take down the beast of a man known as King Schlack. It starts at Malignant, in my opinion.
That is a good way to put it. I didn't even think for myself for once. I was like, now that you said that, I was like, yeah, both of them have kind of been on a downward trajectory in RPW, but that's not to say that both aren't memorable. But it's
Exactly.
just, that is a very interesting. So this is kind of like a make or break it kind of situation for both gentlemen.
Both men, when you see them on a card, when you see them in a match, it's a must-watch match.
Exactly.
So you get both of these uncontrollable, unpredictable forces together, and it's going to be madness right off the rip. I don't know where in the order, the show order, that it's going to be
Yeah, we
happening.
are
We'll
doing this
find out.
entirely on our own
Yeah,
theoretical order.
we're predicting obviously everything, and we'll find out after as the show progresses on live on IWTV. But I'm very interested to see how it goes and how they will survive each other, and the foundation, and hopefully is reinforced at the Berwyn Eagles.
You never know with the Berwyn Eagles. One day a bingo hall, another day a crash zone. That's the best way to put it. But yeah, I mean, that's a very interesting point. I mean, they're unpredictable. Now they're two unpredictable forces are coming together in what should be a really high octane match with a lot at stake, as you've mentioned.
That's what I do.
And on to another one, one of the few international talents we have on this show, Sexy Eddie makes his RPW debut. That is a sentence I never thought in a million years to say, but the man, I mean, I remember growing up watching him do the infamous blood squirt at TOD years ago, and now he is in the Midwest, a Canadian deathmatch staple, facing off with really one of the true household names of RPW, one of the true household names of the Darren McCarty brand. Shout out to Uncle D-Mac himself, Schwartzy, Sexy Eddie. I have no idea how this is gonna go, and I
Sex,
don't know how I
violence,
want
and
to
rock
see
and
it.
roll, honestly.
Yeah.
I feel like both of these gentlemen ooze charisma. And you speak about Sexy Eddie.
There's no
There's
lack
no
of.
lack of charisma here. Both entertaining as hell. Both enjoying their spot no matter where they are in the card. Both are very successful in inside of the ring, and both very viral for their moments in and outside of the ring. I mean, how can we forget about the Red Light District death matches that Schwartzy has had with Lowlife Louie on the East Coast, not in both at Street Trash and Miasma?
Yes.
Why we talk about Sexy Eddie and all of his moments, even when he come to the blood squirting spot at TOD. You
Oh,
talk
man.
about a lot of his shenanigans during CZW fame or IWA Mid-South or the Canadian deathmatch scene
Yes.
that he's still a staple and a absolute legend of. Both gentlemen are masters at the craft, masters in charisma, and both are going to just have the best time and show you that pro wrestling is for everyone, and it's going to be happening at RPW's Malignant. It's going to be a hell of a good match and a hell of a good time.
I'm trying to even think if this is truly the first time Sexy Eddie has even ever graced the state of Illinois, whether or even the Midwest for that matter.
That's a good question.
He's always been on the East. He's always been in Canada. Like, I remember watching him and Mickey Knuckles a few years back at a little show at the H2O Center. It was ISW's Million Blocks Deathmatch show, but it was Sexy Eddie and Mickey Knuckles in a match, and it feels so weird now, years later, I'm getting to be in the presence of once again literally one of the coolest people you will ever meet in Sexy Eddie. So,
I'm looking at quickly cage match.
of
I'm going
course,
to cheat a
God,
little bit. Bless cage match.
last cage
I
match.
mean I went to matches and I just typed in Illinois, and last time it's looking like he's been in Illinois was the Double Death Tag Team Tournament of 2008.
Ooh, yeah, sheesh. So it's been a hot minute.
So it's been at least 20 years or close to 20
Close to
years.
20 years, 16 years.
Yes, which is close
16
to 20
was.
years.
But yeah, you don't want to miss Sexy Eddie gracing Illinois once again. But of course, I mean, Schwartzy, Schwartzy is in a spot right now
What's there to say about Schwartzy? Schwartzy has done fantastic work, and he's taken kind of a detour from his quest for the RPW tag team
Yeah,
titles
he is.
with his number one best partner Randy West, and to do something very special for him. And of course, obviously, Flophouse popping off. You know, he is the king of the
Yeah.
Flophouse DMACC brand, and also of course Wake and Bake. You can watch twice a
Wake and
week on
bake, baby.
Twitch. Shouts out to that. You know, he does a lot of good work. He's a great mind, and it's going to be a good time.
It is. So on to number three. So I know there's been a this belt's been a bit of controversy lately because we
Because
don't know where it is.
TFC stole it.
Allegedly they stole it. But Remington Roar is still on paper your defending RPW Kamikaze champion as of this recording.
Yes, he is a little over 1 year as
Yep,
champion.
1 year champion,
I mean,
October,
he won.
last
Yep,
October.
he won it at Devil's Night 2, at Berwyn Eagles, and now he's returning to the Berwyn Eagles as champion. He's defended against a who's who of talent,
Yeah.
and he's done very well from himself. I mean, let me be honest for a second. I was when I saw the idea of that Kyle versus Remington Roar, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this because I've only heard about that
Same
Kyle.
hey.
I wasn't familiar fully with this stuff. I've seen a couple of matches here and there. I thought that was a breakout match for
That
that
Kyle.
tournament, and it was a breakout match for that Kyle. I would love to see that Kyle back in RPW,
I
I would
would
think.
too. I would too. I don't know
But
about the
Remy.
rest of those punks and TFC, but you know what? That Kyle's always one of my.
But Remington Roar is having a banner year. He
Yes.
has done very well for himself in RPW. He has faced a who's who of challengers. But the man he is facing is a rising name in the deathmatch circuit. Is a man that is behind the great people at We Love Wrestling, who just celebrated their 1 year, who we
Yes,
will
they
be
did.
joining in early 25. More on that later. And Tommy Trainwreck is really proving to himself that he is, well, as the moniker is known as, death proof. He really knows how to take a beating, but still give it back tenfold. He is a monster in the ring who can move very fast. Fan of big hosses that can move. Big dudes who will be who is fast as fuck, dude. Like, I'm a fan of Tommy Trainwreck. It is known that I've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes with We Love Wrestling as of late with their commentary and getting a lot of their back catalog with commentary with the great Phil Stamper. And it's been very special to me. So I'm coming into this match already studying up on not only champion, but challenger as well. But both of these men. Both know violence, both have participated in numerous tournaments, and both have had wins in tournaments
Yeah.
themselves. I know Remington Moore has done stuff with AWR and won
Yes.
their tournament. Tommy Trainwreck has won ICW Milwaukee.
And
He
Horror Slam.
and Horror Slam, you know, we talk about some of that stuff. And you know, both gentlemen, both very good, both very violent. Both on the rise, both champions, and now they're coming into RPW with title contentions. Can Remington Roar hold on to that title that he's held for a year plus, or Tommy Trainwreck play spoiler to Roar?
And I think with the fact that there's no physical bells, well, it adds that more intrigue because
I think
imagine a
we will
Tommy.
find it. I think we'll find it by the time the show happens, or our friends at Hyperion Championship Belts will just like get us a new one. I don't know.
Exactly. But there's always this controversy now if, say, Tommy Trainwreck wins, and that Kyle's like, hey, man, like, what the hell? We could have a bit of controversy with the Kamikaze belt, but you laid it out perfectly because as someone that's seen Trainwreck here in the Midwest and has been studying on him and seen him up close, he has a wealth of wrestling experience as well. Like, yes,
Oh
he is a
yeah.
deathmatch wrestler, but his backlog of wrestling in general, I mean, he's been out east, He's been in the Midwest. Like, his knowledge of wrestling is uncanny to an
And he's
extent.
wrestled like a who's who of people that you now
Yeah,
see on television now.
exactly. So he's been around the block. It's almost like deathmatch wrestling reinvigorated his career in a
I will agree.
way.
I think that's a good way of putting it.
So you never know what these two, but it's just two big men, a lot of violence, buckle, a lot of meat. I can guarantee you in Chicago, we love our meat. We're gonna get some meat chance. Berwyn, don't let me down.
Come on, Berwyn, give me some meat chance.
So on to match number four. This is a match that actually stems from King of the Kill. Actually, I'd even go back even further with these two from Miasma.
You're right. You're correct.
Because Big Lou Nixon, who, by the way, he's been on a bit of a schneid a little bit lately. If you saw what happened, he is now
He's a
had his
member of
head.
the Bald World
The
Order.
newly
We
minted member of the Bald World Order.
have brought our brethren, Big Lou Nixon, into the Bald World Order. His card is in the mail right now. We have the
He's
meetings. He joins
lost
via
his
Zoom.
belts. He's lost his hair.
He's
He's
got turned on by some of the people from British Top Team. You know.
he's kind of a lone wolf right now, but I think what is motivating still is from back in Miasma when he took the RPW Rust Belt champion, which by the way, the first international talent to hold an RPW belt, which is
And
kind
made
of the
it a
wildest thing.
world
World.
title.
Exactly. I mean, you saw that belt in TNT, which I think was the wildest thing ever. But I think what motivated him more was he just never liked Tommy Vendetta from the start. He hated his guts. He did not like how he looked at him. He did not like his existence, Tommy Vendetta. Call a spade a spade here, man.
What, you call this a wrestler? My old Jewish man, terrible impression. Apologize, Lauren, for that. You can
No,
edit
good.
if you want to. That's fine.
I ain't jack on this.
But like let's get it right. Let's talk about it straight. Tommy Vendetta never technically lost the title. He never lost it himself. Tommy Vendetta unfortunately got concussed because of Mania Weekend, and everybody goes hard in the paint during Mania Weekend, and unfortunately could not defend the title. MM3 stepped in to fill in because the DMACC brand and Brotherhood Love came together. But Lou Nixon became the winner, took that title overseas, defended it as many times he did. At the end of the run, he tied for the amount of defenses that Randy West did, but did it in half the time. I believe it was nine defenses. Without cheating on Cage Match off the top of my head, I believe it
Yes,
was
I
nine
believe it was
defenses.
nine.
He defended it in Kumite Combat Wrestling. He defended it in TNT. He defended it in Rise. And obviously, he defended it in RPW during the King of the Kill tournament. These two have been wanting to get at each other's throats for a while now. So now they're finally going to happen. Lou Nixon returns to the United States, and he's going to be returning with all of that pent-up frustrations of what has happened in the UK. Now back in the US, he's been doing huge things in the United States. But Tommy Vendetta, RPW is Tommy Vendetta. Tommy Vendetta is RPW. Like, he had a banner year last year. This year, still is doing very big things, and he's probably one of the breakout stars of the Michigan area that really is putting a name on himself. But both him and MM3 are really like the children of Detroit, the true pillars of Detroit's wrestling to bring it on to a more national stage. Nothing against Michigan wrestling, but you throw a rock and you're going to find a Michigan wrestling show, which is
Very
good and
true.
also which is good and also bad at the same time, because you end up kind of you get these 40 milers kind of doing the runs, and then they're comfortable. And I feel like it's gotten to the point now where Tommy Vendetta and MM3 have both broken out, and Tommy Vendetta is really making a name for himself. It's a statement being made in RPW as well, as Tommy Vendetta, almost a day oneer in RPW, taking on a man that has done some big things for the company in sh such a short amount of time, going to blows at Malignant.
Like these two, I wouldn't be surprised if they just start throwing punches from the bell. Like,
Oh,
this may be a kickboxing match for all we know.
this is going to be, I'd be very surprised if this match didn't end in a knockout.
I mean, I think Lou wouldn't mind that. I mean, this is nice little blood sport warm up,
I mean,
so
hey, that's true.
I mean, to me, yeah, as you mentioned, Lou Nixon, literally a guy who the UK deathmatch scene has its cornerstones. Like you're Clint Margera's of the world, you're Big F and Joe's who did make it big in the deathmatch circuit. But Lou was kind of that next guy ready, ripening at the bit to go, and he did. And RPW opened the door. He didn't just go through the door, he smashed the door of opportunity. And as you said, in such a short amount of time, too, I mean, defending that belt, making it a world championship, the Rust Belt. And now, I mean, Tommy Vendetta, he gets his opportunity at him. I would say the opposite. Lou Nixon gets his opportunity at Tommy Vendetta,
I
put it this
agree.
way.
I think that's very good.
So, I mean, it just, man, those two have just been chomping at the bit. I mean, King of the Kill, too. Lou was like, yeah, I may have lost my belt, but I sure got an ass kicking on the schedule for you.
I'm ready.
And I'm ready to talk about this next one. Number five on the show for us. This is one, this could very well have been a main event anywhere else. And that talks to the caliber of what RPW has to offer. But this match to me just has so much high stakes at it. The 440 Civil War itself, a civil war that has spanned over a year.
More than a year.
More
I
than
mean,
a year.
it's been
Sheesh.
spanning for a couple of years now. And what's great about the 440 storyline is that it obviously it started in GCW, and then you know and you heard and you or what or whatever you
Whatever
the
your
internet
subjective,
chatter,
yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
you saw the exodus of 440. You saw what was happening in Circle Six for the launch of Circle Six. It was kind of wrapped around 440, and right after Atticus Coger won the Circle Six World Championship, Ricky turned his back on the rest of 440 and went on his way. Went to Japan, went to do some of the other things, getting signed to MLW. He was went to his own things, and then he comes back into 440. And challenge and starts getting in the head of Atticus Coger. Atticus Coger decides to, change the color scheme. It's no longer green, it's yellow. So all the members are wearing yellow. And all of a sudden, Ricky comes in and starts wearing different colors and saying, I'm still 440. I never left 440. I am 440. And then it starts bringing in his own crew. And then this is the Civil War. I remember in Beyond Wrestling, it was Faith in Nothing versus the Coger brothers. And then it pinnacled, it turned into a no-rope barbed wire
Right
match
with
between
Ricky and
the two.
Atticus.
Ricky Shane Page, as you saw in that music video, that fun fact I made together.
Yes, you did.
Of that recap of, Ricky Shane Page at the end of This Time It's War, available now on IWTV.
Yes.
Ricky Shane Page had a factor in that tag title death match between Midwest Scum before Zach Thomas joined in a 440 against the Coker brothers and made a
Yes.
factor of it and made cut that promo right in the middle of the ring saying, I'm going to follow you no matter where you are. And then he brings in the cousin of 440, Christian Napier, brings in Alice Crowley, a star
Big
student in
Al.
the eyes of many. And now we see Zach Thomas coming in. You see the split. The lines have been drawn. We saw at Clash Simply the Best, Eric Ryan jumping ship and joining Ricky Shane Page. But these four gentlemen, or excuse me, these eight people,
Individuals.
individuals, are going to face off in Malignant. They've been all factor in RPW and have been in each other's throats, interrupting matches, being in matches. Our RPW tag team champions is 440 Blue,
And
is Faith in
our
Nothing.
RPW world champion is Atticus.
And our RPW world champion is Atticus. So most of our titles are owned by RP of our 440 right now. You know, it the battle lines are drawn, and both and all these men want and excuse me, all these people want each other because, you know, bad blood, you know, preventing each other to forwarding their careers, what have you. You know, mind games and everything. It's gang warfare death match. It's all eight people. There is no like one in, one out. This is
No.
all eight madness death matches right off the rip. Ricky Shane Page, Christian Napier, Alice Crowley, Vincent Nothing, 440 Blue versus 440 Yellow, Atticus Coger, Otis Coger, Gregory Iron, Zach Thomas. And as a kicker, the captains, Ricky, Atticus, the winning captain gets to whip the losing captain with a weapon of choice, 10 lashings.
10 lashings in that ring to already add on to the embarrassment of losing, to already add on to the pain and suffering that they dealt with. They have to go through 10 lashings.
My thing about this is when this is all said and done, when the explosion happens, when the match is finished, when the lashings are done, what will become from 440? Do we continue? Do like in a war, nobody wins a war, just somebody survives more. That's all it is. War never changes. That's the thing about this, what is happening. I don't think this is going to end
No.
until both either Ricky and or Atticus can't fight anymore. I would go one step further, as is this won't be over until one of these gentlemen can't breathe anymore. And I feel like as much as this is being defined as a finish in RPW, I don't think it's the last time 440 is going to have something throughout the independent scene. It's
Very
been
true.
spilling out between many other companies. It's gone from GCW to Beyond Wrestling to RPW. I've seen some stuff during the
Clash,
Converge with we've done
Convert,
say with
yeah.
Clash, EFW out of Ohio,
Yes.
Wrestling Revolver. You know, I don't know where the ending will be. But at least in RPW, a chapter, a book is closing at Malignant.
Or so we say.
Or,
Because you never know. You just
yeah.
never know. And as the great Terry Funk taught us, you never really truly retire from wrestling. Come on
That's
now,
true.
brother. So you
That's
just
true.
never know how, what maybe one chapter closes, but another one may very well open from what entails November 23rd at the legendary Berwyn Eagles. I mean, the Berwyn Eagles has hosted some legendary matches in its time. And this has the makings of something legendary. This has the makings of something. I mean, this is like a ticking time bomb that is going to go off with these eight individuals. I mean, Al Crowley, her first death match. I mean, a venue that has hosted a plethora of women's wrestlers. Al Crowley gets to make her mark as one of the few women that's had a death match in that very venue.
It's not every day that you could say there was a death match in you know the Berwyn Eagles. We're
Yes.
lucky to be you know the premier wrestling company that will have death matches on the regular at the Berwyn Eagles. You speak about the history of women's wrestling in general and the Berwyn Eagles and you know, the amount of talent that has come in and out of those hallways. You know, it's important for someone who's very young in her career. I would only say, I want to say like what, five to 7 years she's only been
Yeah.
around. Very impressive. I feel like she'll be
Extremely
signed in the next 3 to 5 years.
agreed.
Very, very, you know, sure for herself and probably the toughest person on 440 Blue, to
There's
be
a
honest.
reason they call her Big Al. Don't let her
Yeah.
size fool you.
She's the heater. She's the true heater. People think it'll be Vincent Nothing. It's
As
Al.
I put on my Insta story after her promo, which by the way, you can see on Instagram, I said Big Al ain't nothing to fuck with. Thank you, Wu-Tang Clan, for that one.
Wu-Tang is forever. And also Wu-Tang's for the children.
They are.
They are.
Well, that match is going to be incredible. But on to match number six. God, we've already gone through almost a good chunk of the show. But this match right here, this is a match as well that could be a main event anywhere and everywhere. This is a match that Mind you, I've already been starstruck with this certain individual to even be in an RPW ring already this year. But to not only make their return in the way they've returned and to do it on their own terms, Drake Younger returns to an RPW ring. But there's a lot to talk about here because Drake Younger is not only wrestling someone who he believes is one of the futures of this great genre of wrestling, but he is putting his death match career on the line against not only a TV star, but a bona fide death match star in the form of Akira. And they're doing it in 200 plus light tubes. Death match career versus death match career.
What's there to say about both of these gentlemen? And I say that, and then for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to say things about them. So that was a pointless intro,
Oh, the
anyway.
irony,
Oh, the
people.
irony! I'm very aware of some of the things I say sometimes. Drake Younger, let's talk about it. Let's be legit. He is an absolute bona fide stud. When it comes to deathmatch wrestling,
Legend.
when he talks about, hybrid wrestling, he really broke the mold in the style of what he is. You talk about those huge matches against people like B-Boy and Brain Damage and Necro Butcher, a man that can do the Battle of Our Best and then turn around and win King of the Deathmatch. You know the history of the East Coast and Drake Younger, and both these gentlemen have done very well for themselves on the independent scene, really broken out from their places, both signed to major wrestling companies. As Ron Neamey said when he talked about his breakdown of RPW as Malignant, they're both very similar, and we speak about the passing of the torch, and that I don't even want to call Drake Younger old school. I don't even want to use that term because like he really brought that style of like that almost amateur wrestling and traditional wrestling and put it into deathmatch wrestling in a world where deathmatch wrestling was more hack and slash, from your IWA Mid-South days, your Deep South days,
Your original
things like that.
CZW, like the
Your
ultra
original
violent days.
People forget that CZW like w had a lot of wrestling in it. Still does have a lot of like traditional wrestling in it, but it also tacked on, the idea of that the next level of extreme wrestling that ECW really paved the way for. People talk about like who was the spiritual successor of ECW. People can talk about like stuff in Japan. People can talk about some of the states, some of the companies in the states. I really feel that CZW was in that time of the mid 2000s, the early 2000s to late 2000s, was that prime time of the spiritual successor of ECW. And Drake Younger was one of those people that really showcased that he can be extreme, but he can also out-wrestle you no matter
One
what.
of the most technically gifted, like death match wrestlers, like hybrid wrestlers of our time. I've always said that about
Absolutely.
him. And when he came back, like it's like he didn't lose a damn step. And that was the like all these younger guys are like, oh, Drake's back. I'm like, Drake's
Drake is
back.
back. And literally broke his back and then came back again.
Back. Oh my
Like the
goodness.
man, I don't know what is going on, but he's done very well. But let's switch gears for a moment for someone like Akira, who got, who became frustrated about the Midwest scene, and he's openly have expressed about that, about what's going on. He moved over into the East Coast. He resides out of New York. And then he started doing a lot more things. He's been getting more opportunities and also in death matches, but also in traditional wrestling as well. Got an opportunity to go one-on-one with a lot of legends out of Big Japan Pro Wrestling and being one of the so-called ace of Bakugaijin. I feel like Akira really does very well for himself, and he's very confident in his skills. And he does very well himself, and he's a very good talker. He's a very good wrestler. He has a very unique look. He's not afraid to get a little goofy with like the Maid Kira stuff, which I absolutely love. And I think
Love
that's
Maid
great.
Kira.
And I think that's great for any wrestler who's so confident in themselves that they can turn around and laugh at themselves. Because if you look at it, if you take a step back from the world of pro wrestling is goofy as fuck. And you kind of have to be self-aware about that to do so well in this business. And Akira knows that. Akira has all the tools to doing so. And he's really becoming, the new hotness. But you take two of these forces, and you take somebody like Akira that is so confident in his styles that he's not waiting for the torch to be passed. He's going to rip it
No.
off out of the hands of someone like Drake Younger. That, he even said that, like, Drake, you came, you had your styles, you had your good goodbyes, and then you're starting to overstay your welcome.
Yeah.
And you're waiting, and you're here a little bit too long. And it's time to kind of put the old dog to rest. And I can understand that from Akira. But if I'm someone like Drake Younger that really had a second lease on life and a second lease on bettering himself, talking about his sobriety, talking about a lot of his history and everything, and really
Yeah.
trying to refashion his image for the better, for his family, for his career, for all the work that he's done for pro wrestling, it makes perfect sense that he's out here doing the mileage, doing the shows once again, and really showcasing why his name should be talked about in the independent scene. Both these men have a lot on the plate and a lot to bring in here, and then you're gonna throw 200 tubes onto it because why the fuck not? Because it's a deathmatch company, baby, and it's RPW. So that's what's going to be happening in Malignant.
Could have said it better myself. I
Thank you.
mean, it to me, this match. I mean, and mind you, Drake's first excursion with RPW was just like it was spectacular. Him and M3 to me is still one of the death matches of the year.
I feel
It.
like if you want to showcase how to tell a story in a death match, I think MM3 Drake Younger is a perfect example.
It is
And that
because.
match,
You
like,
proved to a lot of people not only you're bringing in this, not even a gatekeeper, but a guy like Drake who's like well established, a legend to many people. But you basically told Malcolm Monroe III, hey kid, you want this fucking match? Well, you got it now. Show us what you got.
yeah, and it really put MM3 opening a lot of eyes on someone that has all the tools, but is still missing just a smidge of what to do. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's just more high level matches. Maybe it's just a chance to
Maybe it's putting him
showcase it
under
in front of Vince.
pressure. Maybe putting
But
him under pressure.
I mean, put coals under pressure, you get diamonds. And MM3 is a diamond. Akira is a diamond. But Drake
Akira.
Younger is a bigger diamond.
He
And
is.
both these men are going to be facing off in a couple of weeks.
Crazy, it's gonna only be a couple of weeks, but
Right? I'm so like, I feel
I'm
like I'm
blanking.
not.
I'm like, oh,
I
geez.
it's like I felt like I'm like, just it's here already?
It's
Like
here
we're almost it's
already.
like we're it's like it's time for like I've been bouncing around for so many places as of late, and I'm just and I love RPW, and RPW is my home, and but like it's getting to the point where I'm just like, oh, RPW is here, fantastic, let's go, let's
Yeah,
talk death
right?
matches.
Let's do it. We do have one more match to talk about, of
We
course.
do, we do, and it's
And
and it's gonna be huge, but
is gonna be
key it off.
huge. I mean, the RPW Rust Belt Championship, which of course is held by our new lovely king since King of the Kill 2, King Schlack, which I think
All hail King Schlag.
there's something about saying that just I don't know. I don't know yet. It's just seeing him with a dingy crown and seeing him with two belts, it's just there's something that hits different about King Schlack.
Two goddamn belts at the same goddamn time.
And we've been anticipating what his first like Rust Belt Championship defense would be. I don't think I would have anticipated Tsuchiyuki Sakuda, who, mind you, I like to call Sakuda a deep south. Brawlamall stuck in Japan because he is such a fan of the American style. He's such a fan of just the all-out craziness of deathmatch to say, I want a shot at the RPW Rust Belt Championship. So he is vying for the RPW Rust Belt Championship against King Schlack at Malignant. And I don't know if I should be afraid for Sakuta here, as someone who's seen his unpredictability before many a times, but I almost don't know how Schlack is going to react to it in a way.
Slack is a freight train of a man,
Exactly.
and he has one speed and it's go. But people forget that, he's very well versed in the ring.
Yes.
As much as he is this big, just brick wall of a man, that he's a terrifying person to see. You think, I always make this joke, you think of a person named Schlack, what do they look like? That's exactly what Schlack looks like. Just like, this man is covered head to toe into its tattoos, missing teeth, just
Muscly as
but
ever.
muscly as ever. Just the man is just a terrifying beast. Sakuta, however, is spry, is unpredictable. The psychopath boy, the
Yeah.
master of needles. We
The
see some of his
master of the
stuff.
fishbow.
The yeah, the you know the he, we've seen his stuff in Dai, his promotion. We've seen his stuff in Big Japan and across the independent scene in places like Freedoms as well.
Yes.
It's And he's currently on a US excursion as
Yes,
well,
he
and he's
is.
going to be wrestling earlier that day against a gentleman out of Time Bomb, who's a reverend
Yes, the
himself.
Reverend Ricky Norin.
Yes, so that should be a very interesting warm up to
Very
take on
interesting.
before you take on someone like Schlack. But Schlack beat seven other people, won a tournament, and then took on the king himself, a very well rested, a very well pissed off Tommy Vendetta. He's done really the impossible. He's climbed the mountain. He beat all of his competitors. He beat Matt Tremont in minutes, which is very impressive
Very impressive.
to see that, as a legend himself. The man who just went to Australia, won their deathmatch tournament, is coming back,
Yes, he did.
Schlack is on fire in RPW. He really is. Ever since he's come in, since the first King of the Kill, is a dangerous force to be reckoned with. I don't know who or what or when or where that title is going to be taken from Schlack, but I don't think it's going to be happening anytime soon.
No.
As much as I like Sakuta, and as much as this match is very impressive by having a Japanese talent coming into the States once again and wrestling on a stage like RPW, I fear for Sakuta's life, but I don't think Sakuta is going to be doing the impossible. I think Sakuta has a real legit chance, because if you can take someone like Schlack off his game and off his feet, I think it's all your business. We all know that match he's had with Tommy Vendetta at This Time Is War. Very fun match. Go check it out once again on
Yep.
our and there's a lot at stake here in this match. But Schlack might leave the Berwyn Eagles and might leave 2024 as the most dominant person in RPW for the year. It could be absolutely happening, but I'm very excited to see this match live.
And that, I mean, that speaks volumes. I mean, Schlack. He made his, I believe it was King of the Kill 1 was his debut.
Correct.
And ever since then, he just stuck around. He kept making waves in his own ways. And as you see, now he has two belts to his name. He has a nice little king crown, which I hope has been repaired. I'm hoping that that crown has been repaired.
Sure.
But I'm hoping it's been repaired, but I'm a wishful thinker in that sense.
I
But
think
it
Schlock
is
just ate it.
a. Yeah, he may have eaten it. R.I.P. that crown. But alas, that is malignant. That is how we end 2024 on a absolute ridiculous note, only from the crazy folks at Ruthless Pro Wrestling.
But
And
wait,
there's
there's more.
more,
'Cause 2025, we've already announced our first three shows of the year,
which is crazy.
which is crazy. We're going to be teaming up with the good people at Seven, And we're going to be making our Houston, Texas debut January 18th for a collab show we like to call Hydra.
Love
so
the name. Love the name.
We've already announced four people at the time of this recording. MM3, Tommy Vendetta, Arrow Boy, and Masada will be at the shows. And more to be announced for those shows. Then in February 8th, we're going to be heading up to a very cold place in February. I don't know whose great idea was this, but bundle up because we're teaming up with the good people at We Love Wrestling for a show we like to call Strange Brew. And that's going to be at the world famous La Pica Lounge.
La Pica, baby.
In Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
I can tell you right now, as cold as it may be outside, La Pica will get very, very warm. I can guarantee you that.
Bring me all the beer and cheese curds.
Then I'll bring you the curds. No worries.
My man. Anyway, and then we head over back into our home base for Berwyn Eagles on March 22nd in Chicagoland, Illinois. And once again, we are teaming up with Seven, but this time for a little show we like to call White Line Fever. So those are your first three shows of 2025. Tickets are on sale for all of them right now at ruthlesspro.com. Plus more to be announced, talent, matches, and God knows wherever else we're going to be popping out in 2025. It's going to be a very wild ride for Ruthless Pro. Strap in, people. Follow us. Enjoy it. It's all going to be on IWTV, but we're going to end this year on a very violent high note with Malignant. Tickets are still on sale. RuthlessPro.com, November 23rd. Doors are at 6 p.m. Central Time. 7 p.m. is doors, and it'll also be streaming live on
Bell's
IWTV.
At 7.
Bell is at 7. Yes. 8 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're on Mountain Time, good fucking luck. Figure it out yourself. We will go from there. Seven huge matches, international talent, gonna be a blast. I can't wait. Myself and Ron Neme on the call. We're gonna
two icons of the game.
He's the icon. I'm just loud.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I'm doing all right.
You do more than just all right. but no, Ron is the man. It'll be good.
Ron
to
is
see
the
him.
Man.
I'm waiting to see Ron again with his Mr. Submarine as he walks in the Berwyn Eagles again. Like the
he was very
time.
Happy about that Mr. Submarine, to be honest.
Oh, he was ecstatic. I've never seen a man enjoy Mr. Submarine more than Ron Neme. So,
hey, man.
It's gift that
stuff.
Keeps on giving here, okay?
Absolutely.
But I want to talk more about you, though, because you have had a lot. As you said earlier, you have been working behind the scenes with We Love Wrestling, you and of course, Phil Stamper, another great commentator of the Great Midwest.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He is fantastic. And the two of you have been working on the backlog with We Love Wrestling to kind of do commentary for their shows. And how has that been? Because, I mean, especially for a promotion that's really only been a year in the making, that's definitely an interesting journey you've probably been on.
It's really kind of jumping onto the highway and learning the lay of the land. But there's a lot of great talent that they have been touching on. And it's very fun for me to doing a little bit more of traditional wrestling and breaking out of the deathmatch world.
Of course.
I mean, I've been doing stuff with them. I've recently been jumping on the on board with Clash Wrestling.
Yes.
I've been doing stuff with Divine Women's Pro Wrestling, which I've been very proud of and everything. Obviously, I've been doing stuff with Flophouse for a while. And, you know, I'm really breaking out more this year. And I remember just like putting out that status like, hey, 2024, I want to try my hand on breaking out more across the independent scene on commentary. And boy, has that grown. And, you know, also, I'd be remiss. Fantastic League of Wrestling, based out of the Indiana, Illinois area. My former RPW
friend.
My former RPW commentator, John Bullard, who's taken a step back from commentary.
Which I want to mention.
Yes.
A new dad.
He's a father. He's really enjoying fatherhood. We're very excited for Flo for 2025. Very excited for shows coming up. There's going to be a lot of fun for that. So that's a family fun show. That's good for all the kids. You know, I'll
very
tell you
happy
one thing.
For Flo. Very happy
it's,
for Flo.
It's such a wild world. When I went from a weekend of like death matches and debauchery and everything, and I jumped in and I did a weekend in Indiana at Indiana Beach.
I'm so jealous. I got to go to Indiana Beach.
And it was
I'm
so much
jealous.
Fun. It was a great time. And like, and I got to do a family friendly show that you can watch now on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it was just so much fun. And I really enjoyed it. And it's great. I'm working with some great talent, some great companies. I really want to break out more in 2025. You know, I've been also doing a couple of projects here and there for some international talents, you know, and some other companies that, you know, they wanted commentary and then, you know, leave me on read afterwards, and I'm not going to mention them. But it's the eye emoji in audio form. I really like doing this, and I've been learning a lot from people like Walker Stewart.
Oh, Walker Stewart, man.
I've been really enjoying myself. And if you like my adventures and you like what I do, and if you want to follow me on all social media platforms outside of Twitter, because fuck them, follow me on all of them. It's at Peapod Calls for you, the number four, the letter U. And then
Beautiful.
If you want to book me as well, peapodcallsforyou@gmail.com. I got a link tree. Lauren will do it in the show notes, hopefully, or
yes.
Somebody will.
Yes.
But obviously, RPW is my home, is my number one spot. It will always be my number one spot. Malignant coming up. You're going to love it. Lauren's the best. Shouts out to him. And we're going to end this right now. On my terms. Boom.
Yeah. It's like you almost stole my thunder of me asking you to plug
okay,
your stuff, but I don't
that's
care.
Fine. That's
no,
fine.
No, I was gonna say you're like one of like the all time best guests. So yeah, I will always and forever give you the opportunity to plug and thank you.
Well,
for
I
that
appreciate it. Yes.
You've done some fantastic work. You've worked with some incredible people from like the Phil Stampers of the world to the Nick Manawas, who I remember that dude doing freaking IWA Mid-South, and you get
Nick
to work
Manawa
with him.
doing another show with him. Like, so I did Flophouse,
yes,
with Nick Manawa last year, and that was my first like foray outside of RPW.
Yeah.
And like, and you know, I did okay for myself. I didn't know how to transition, and there was some RPW like layovers, and you know, I got some good tips and figured out what to do from there, and then I just went from there. But it was so nice to jump in with him afterwards, and he's an absolute legend, and I want to do more with Nick, obviously, but the man does a lot of stuff, and he's father first, and I respect the hell out of
that.
I understand. So you know, for the opportunity for Ricky to bring up Nick Manawa, he drove like 5 hours for that show.
Yeah, wow.
That poor boy and his wife, you know, they drove up. We did the show in Michigan. We did Simply the Best. It was a lot of fun. I almost got impaled by a tube chunk.
I know.
And and that was always – I'm still finding glass shards in my notebook.
Really?
So I you can't see it, but like
– yeah.
I know I already said that like we're going to end the show, but I'm going to tell this quick story. So like we're in the main event, and I posted a clip on my Instagram.
Yes, I remember. I've
shared it. And just a chunk of tube flies right into my chest. And like luckily the Deathmatch Worldwide logo is on there, but like it flew to the point where like it hit the spine of my notebook. So like it kind of like messed up the spine. There's like kind of a, I don't know if you can really say it, but like, there's a kind
yeah,
of
I see, I see it.
There's a dent in this notebook.
Yeah, I see.
And
oh
like
my goodness.
I'm still feeling glass shards in my notebook,
man.
From it.
That's
so
crazy.
Because I have different notebooks for different
yeah.
shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found that absolutely hilarious. So every time now, and that's my Clash notebook. So every time I do a Clash show, I'm just like, oh, why is this sharp? Oh,
ooh, sharp things.
Yes. So, but that was a wild time, and it was that was fun show, and I definitely watch that on IWTV as well. But I think my goals in 2025, I want to do more commentary. I want to do English commentary for a non-English speaking company. So whether that's Japan, whether that's Mexico, I am knocking out two new states in 2025, which is a lot of fun. And I'm going to be doing more with We Love Wrestling in the future.
Yes.
So I'm very excited for that. But I want to do more, and I want to like do some of the more upper echelon companies.
Yeah.
I just want to improve more. I want to do commentary, and I want to do this as close to full time as I can.
Yeah.
So that's my goals for 2025. For RBW, I'm very excited what we're doing. We're making a lot of good moves. We're making a lot of good relationships with a lot of good people. And I'm very excited. Wrestling fucking rules. And you know, let's enjoy it.
Really, I think that's a great place to cap this amazing conversation again with you, Pod. And as we covered RPW's Malignant, but also all things RPW, as always. As much as it's your home, it's also my home as well. It's been really cool to see just the it's just skyrocketed. We're on a rocket ship right now. We're not coming down. Don't plan on coming down. And if you guys want to join along the ride, well, feel free to hop along. So with that being said, from myself, from Peapod, hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Your Dose of Death podcast. See you guys on the flip side.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Do you have interest in Joshi, specifically stardom? And you've asked yourself, where do I start? How do I learn? Well, good news for you. The Count Out Podcast Network has a podcast dedicated to the history of World Wonder Ring Stardom that can help you learn, watch, and enjoy. This is the Stardom Road Podcast, hosted by Trent Brewer and myself, Scott Evans. Every other week, we dive into the history of wrestling's biggest women's promotion today. We have you covered.
Stardom Road is the perfect podcast for new fans looking to learn all about the deep history of the wrestlers, events, and championships they're seeing for the very first time, or for those who have been there from the very beginning simply looking to remember the good old days. So join us for multi-episode deep dives into the history of key figureheads like Orisa Hoshiki, and smaller discussions on key role players like Chris Wolfe. Find out about the lineage of championships like the High Speed Belt, or how the various tournaments have changed over the years. And of course, spend time with us discussing important topics like how to costume change battle royals or the very peak of the company.
You can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Join us on the Stardom Road.